opportunity to speak and to hear of the things that he has done.
So for the sake of time, I just wrote down my whole testimony, so I'll just read it off as I wrote it. My name is Jonas Zook. I grew up in a family of 10. I was number 6 in the family. I have 2 older brothers. The youngest of the two is 7 years older than I. The first stage of my life that I have memories of was between the ages of 4 and 9. I have many good memories from this time, but it was also during this time that some things happened that helped to set me on the wrong path. At around the age of 4 or 5, I started having terrible nightmares, so terrible that I know that a 5-year-old mind could not have dreamed it out by itself. They continued for years. At this age, I also got into the habit of lying to my parents. Around the age of 5 and 6 is when I started to fear and hate my older brother. I was naturally kind of quiet, shy, and timid, and he was just the opposite, bold and daring, but he had a mocking laugh that I hated. As time went on, I became increasingly withdrawn, and the more I withdrew, the more I got mocked, and the more I got mocked, the more I withdrew. Maybe I just imagined some of that, I'm not sure, but I think the fear of man and loneliness was related to some of the things I experienced in those demonic nightmares. Some of the things I feared or believed was actually not reality. I was extremely sensitive and easily offended. I got to the point where I hardly ever talked at all unless I had to. I felt so alone in this that at times I just hid myself and cried. I was sure I was not a normal person. I didn't trust anybody enough to confide in. I hated myself for being so cowardly. I didn't want to be this way, but I had no power to change. This stayed with me for years, and I gained some measure of freedom from it over time, but was never totally free of it until I was born again. As time went on, I started to realize my brother was doing things behind my parents' back, so this kind of brought me to a crossroads in a way. I could either side with my parents and tell them about it, or I could side with him, and of course, by default, I sided with my brother because I admired him. As much as I hated him, he seemed to have a power and confidence about him that I lacked, and I wanted that. This was around the age of 8 and 9. It was also at this age that a cousin told me about hell, and it terrified me. By the age of 11 and 12, I became heavily convicted of sin. I knew I would go to hell if I died. I knew about God from reading books and Bible story books, and I understood some of what was preached at church. Sometimes the conviction got so bad I could hardly go to sleep at night, but I knew that if I would fall asleep, the next morning it would be gone. It always worked that way. I think I kind of had an understanding of repentance and that it would be the way out, but the Christian life to me looked boring and dull and passive, and in my mind to submit to God would be to submit to being that way, which was already kind of how I was. In my mind, I knew that Jesus was supposed to have the answer to all our problems, but I didn't truly believe that he had what I really wanted, freedom from this bondage of loneliness and simply who I was. I realized now it was deception. And so I turned my back on God. The following years, I plunged ever deeper into sin. I would deliberately do things to still my conscience. I became the ringleader of all the trouble that went on at school. It felt so glamorous to finally be the one to mock and to be looked up to and admired. I stole money from my dad and got little pocket radios, and my buddies and I started listening to music. I stole money and got a smartphone when I was 14, and in a short time I was into pornography. My dad had already warned me against it, but my heart was already bent towards evil. I became terribly addicted to porn and all kinds of sexual sin, as well as worldly music and movies. When I was 16, my buddies and I had several DVD players among us, and we'd get together every chance we had and watch Western movies. By the time I was 17, I started to realize how this sexual addiction was controlling me and destroying me. This alleviating thing that I had loved had turned into a killing monster, and yet I still loved it. At times I would become panicky and try to quit, but it never lasted. Just before I turned 17, I got a construction job, and I loved it. was 17, I joined instruction class for baptism. I didn't want to, and I wasn't going to at first, because I knew I still wanted the world. But I was at the age when most people would, and it seemed easier to just do it and get it behind me. I was confused. I didn't know what I wanted. One day I threw away all the worldly stuff I wasn't supposed to have, and the next week I would regret it. One day I wanted to change, and the next day I didn't. Sometimes I thought of dropping out of class, but I didn't for fear of what others would think. I had a vague realization that baptism is supposed to be a sacred thing, and to turn it into a common thing is terrible, so I tried not to think about it and indulged in sin again. After I was baptized, my life seemed even darker. Here I was supposed to be a Christian, and I didn't really want to be a Christian. I was as addicted to masturbation as ever. Though I never indulged in porn after I was baptized, I couldn't forget it. The only thing left to do was to go on with life. So I just threw myself into my work and tried to forget it all and became a workaholic. At the age of 18 and 19, whenever I thought of the future, it looked terribly dark. Other people seemed to have their lives together, but I didn't know if I ever could have a normal, clean life. Pornography had turned me into a moral wreck, and I knew it. The only thing left to live for was my work. At times I dealt with suicidal thoughts. Anger was also controlling my life, but the way I always expressed it was to lock up and not talk at all. At times I was just terribly angry at everything and everybody, including my family. Then I would be angry that I was angry. It seemed I was just angry most of the time, and I wouldn't talk for fear of lashing out. At this time, one of my old buddies got converted. I saw the change in his life. I had never seen a life change so dramatically. It had an impact on me. I think it was around this time also that my brother Paul got converted and was baptized. When I was 19, our youth group started getting together for singing classes. It was the first spiritual activity I had ever taken an interest in. Then some more people left for counseling homes. Things were starting to change. It was no longer cool to be wild. There was revival happening in a small way. I tried to sort out my own life, but it was very confusing. I tried to think about eternity, but there was no conviction. I had stuffed down my feelings and ignored reality for so long that I didn't know where to start. I was literally spiritually lost. I wanted to go for counseling, but I was afraid of what others would think. I was sin sick, but I wasn't ready to give up my own life. I wanted a quick fix so I could go on with life and get married and raise a family and just have a good life. I thought about how I had turned my back on God when I was younger, and I knew the way to God was through repentance, but I didn't really feel conviction like I had before. So I started to read the Bible and look for verses that would make me feel guilty and condemned and to drum up enough guilt feelings that I could repent and be forgiven and move on. And then I would try to pray and tell God how terrible and wicked and condemned and unworthy I was of forgiveness in hopes that he would then have mercy and forgive me, but it didn't seem to work. I realize now that God was not impressed with my false humility. I remember reading Romans 1:23 about the reprobate mind, and I thought maybe that was me. I read about Esau in Hebrews and how he had sold his birthright, and after that there was no more repentance. I thought maybe I had sold my birthright back then and God wouldn't give me another chance. I was trying to figure out if I could be forgiven or if there comes a time when God doesn't forgive. I read about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and tried to figure out if I had done that. I read about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, and how they had lied to the Holy Spirit and deceived the congregation and were dropped dead on the spot, and compared that with my baptism, and remembered how evil I had felt at the time. I encountered the Calvinist doctrine of predestination and thought maybe I was predestined to hell. These things really started to trouble me. My confusing prayers never seemed to connect with God. so I gave up on that. I tried talking to several people, but I could never relate the depth of turmoil I was going through, so I gave up on that. Everything was just a confusing mess. I became very depressed and stressed out from trying to sort through it all. It got so bad, I could hardly sleep at night. My mom finally put me on depression pills, but it never seemed to help, so I quit. And yet I never quite gave up on God. There was always a faint glimmer of hope, just maybe God would. The parable of the persistent widow always gave me hope. I knew if I give up on God, I would for sure go to hell, and I didn't want this sin that was controlling my life. As far as I could tell, the biggest chance of going to heaven was if I was a Christian, and it seemed at this point the only way to be one was to try hard. And so the only thing to do was to give it all I had. The next few years was just continuous effort and continuous defeat. Lying in bed, I would try hard to forget the pornographic images, and at work I would try hard to forget the country songs, only to be defeated at some point. I wish God would do a memory reset in my brain. I read a lot of Christian literature and gained a lot of knowledge to try to fill my mind with good things, and still I was defeated. I read the Bible and tried to follow Jesus' teachings, but I could never measure up. I changed jobs so I wouldn't have so much worldly influence. It helped some, but it didn't give life. I would always, at some point, go back to masturbation and still had anger. On top of that, I still had this constant stress and fear in the back of my mind from simply not knowing about my salvation. What if I wasn't forgiven and all this effort would be for nothing? It was a miserable life, but I never had known anything else. I had been told the Christian life is a battle, so I thought this must be it. In the fall of 2022, Ina shared with me a number to call in to listen to a sermon on moral purity. I didn't listen to it for a while. I didn't want conviction if I didn't have the power to live up to it. But finally, I got desperate enough to listen, and it did just that. Finally, by the next summer, I realized I needed something more, something outside of myself. So I asked Enos for the number for Free Indeed Ministries in Pennsylvania. I was a school teacher at the time and a role model to a lot of the youth, so I didn't know what people would think, but I was desperate enough that I didn't care. I called and scheduled to go do their 10-day discipleship course. Manny was the first one that ever told me I could be free from sin. I knew from the first phone call that I could trust him. He had been through the same things I had and had come out clean. We talked about a lot of different things the first time we met, and he shared some of his testimony and gave me some literature to study and discuss with him. I was ready to surrender anything in order to have power in my life. I still couldn't identify what it was that I needed, but I figured he probably could. The first session discussion we had was about faith. We read and discussed a lot of different scriptures about faith, and I was just grasping for light and giving everything I had to try to figure out the true meaning of faith. It didn't take him long to point out that I didn't really have faith in God, and I admitted that I had never trusted God for my salvation. It wasn't totally a new thought, but I had never faced it head on before. The next day in our discussion, we talked some more about faith, and I was still trying to wrap my mind around it all. He talked about works and how we can do nothing to please God outside of faith in Jesus. We looked at Romans 3 and 4, where it talks about the justifying faith. He talked about unbelief and how great a sin that is, and how if we doubt God and what he says in his word, we dishonor him, and how arrogant it is to do that. We looked at Hebrews, where it talks about unbelief and how that is at the root of all sin. He talked about believing and how hard it is. Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent." He talked about how you can have simply have faith even if there are no feelings attached. He gave me some things to read concerning doubts and unbelief. I was finally starting to see where I was. I had grasped hold of one thing. I had to repent of unbelief and turn to God in faith. That night, I remember, I went through an intense battle. After I got done reading the things he told me to read, I switched off the light and sat in darkness. Things were starting to click. My eyes were starting to open. I realized God had me in a corner. I realized I would have to either turn to him fully or turn away. But then the old fears would come back. What about this and what about that? What if God doesn't even want to forgive you? What if you're really an Ananias? Maybe you are predestined to hell. But then I realized how foolish those fears were. No amount of fears would ever save me from hell. I realized if I don't put my faith in God, I am condemned. If I totally surrender to him and put my faith in him, and he still condemns me, there's nothing I can do about it. But of course, we have all the promises in his word that tells us otherwise, and he can't go against his promises. Finally, I just fell on my face before God. I would put God to the test and take care of this once and for all. I was sick and tired of living with this load of stress and this defeat. There was really no reason to continue living if I actually was predestined to hell. I cried out to him like I never had before and threw myself totally upon him. I told him, if salvation isn't for me, then please take my life away before morning. Whatever pleases you, Lord, I'm in your hands. I confessed my sins and told him if he grants me life, I would dedicate my life to him. It was so freeing to just totally let go of everything. I had tried prayer before, but this time I knew I had connected. And I woke up the next morning praising God. It was a turning point in my life. In the following days and weeks, the scriptures came alive in a real personal way like it never had before. I just devoured it. The meaning of the cross became real like it never had before. Repentance took on a new meaning. I experienced the joy of the Lord and a deep, subtle peace that finally allowed me to sleep at night without first taking melatonin pills. And finally, I was able to live in victory over sin. So now I desire with all my heart for baptism and to be incorporated into the fellowship of the saints.